The Anton Savage Show with Kearys.ie on News Talk.
That it is 6 months since the horrific Hamas attack on Israeli civilians that killed so many and took so many hostage. And of course, 6 months ago, that was the entire focus of discussion. Since then, the Israeli response has become much of the focus. We hear reports today that the White House is becoming frustrated with the Israeli government lack of acceptance of the White House position. We see the UK making noises about its support not being unconditional. We see further protests against Benjamin Netanyahu. So we're going to look at the situation on the ground for those who are working in the humanitarian provision in 1 second. Before that, Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent, is with us. Good morning, Alistair.
Good morning.
Alistair, to what extent is support for Israel beginning to wane?
Internationally, I think it has been ebbing away for a number of weeks now. I think the core root of Israel's war, that is to defeat Hamas and to avenge the attacks of 6 months ago today, they still have support for that, whether or not it's the Americans, the British, other European countries, not all European countries, but other European countries. I think that support remains. Where you have seen that support start to become more qualified is areas like lack of humanitarian aid and mistakes that are being made in some of the fighting, like we saw early this week when those humanitarian workers were killed when they shouldn't have been killed. And that is where frustrations have come in. And that is where I think you've seen America and others harden their position.
Now, in respect of the lack of humanitarian aid, is there a point at which this tips over and it becomes almost impossible to supply that aid? Because the numbers have gone from the thousands to the tens of thousands. We hear David Cameron warning of potential famine in the region. At a certain point, presumably, it becomes impossible to fix the humanitarian crisis that's being caused.
Well, I think the reason the likes of David Cameron and the Americans are so frustrated is because it's reasonably, you know, if you're speaking to someone in the humanitarian sector, they might disagree with me, but it would be reasonably straightforward to make the situation significantly better. And what I mean by that is that if you, well, they say they're now going to open up the Erez crossing in the north. They say they're going to, the Israelis are going to open up Ashdod port for maritime deliveries. Well, if that had been done weeks ago, and you'd had multiple border entries into Gaza, and you'd had a streamlined checking process, then I think that would have done a lot to have, you know, lessened the humanitarian crisis. So I think that's why you're seeing these frustrations from Western politicians, because they think that there's a number of things that could be done relatively easily that would mean that this situation does not need to be as bad as it is.
Now, the Israelis have been, and both with their diplomatic corps and with their government, very strident in defending their position and their actions. They must, however, feel the pressure that is coming on from the international community. So what's the end game? What do they pivot to when they can no longer continue to plow their own furrow?
They do see it. They do know it. And you read about it in the media over here now pretty much daily. They know that the White House, which, you know, forget anybody else around the world, you know, having the White House on your side is a really big deal here in Israel. And they know the White House are not happy with it at the moment. That does not sit easily. I think that is why a couple of days ago you saw them finally relent and say they would open this other border crossing. They would allow Ashdod to be used as a port. I think that is a sign that they know that they had to do something. And there's another dynamic that is breaking, I think, in the last hour or two, which could be very significant indeed. And that is that it looks like the IDF have withdrawn all of their forces from southern Gaza, leaving forces only in a sort of a crossing area between the west and the east. You don't quite know why. It could be linked to the hostage talks. Hamas, let's remember, have demanded that all Israeli forces withdraw from Gaza. The Israelis said, no way, that's not going to happen. but this could be a compromise. It also means that if they have withdrawn all their forces, and it's being reported by very, very credible sources over here, if they have withdrawn all of their sources, from southern Gaza, then they are not going to be entering Rafah anytime soon. And that would be certainly as a result of international pressure.
So reading between the lines and with the obvious caveat that you have added that it is early stages and yet to be confirmed. But what I understand from that is this may be evidence of a deal that has been brokered, that the removal of troops is the Israeli commitment to one side of a deal. And that means that we might see hostages released.
I messaged 4 or 5 minutes ago. I messaged a senior IDF officer.
Sorry, we seem to have lost the line. Let me just check if we still have Alistair Bunkle. We were talking to Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent. He was just saying there, now the line has dropped, so we'll try to get him back. But he was just saying there that it looks like troops are coming. The IDF troops are withdrawing from southern Gaza. This is yet to be fully confirmed, but he is saying that that is what he is hearing. And as you heard just before the line dropped, he had been in touch with a senior officer, I assume he was going to say, within the IDF, and that is the reports that he's getting. It seems to be linked to some aspect to a deal that may have been brokered, about which we don't have details. We will get, or we'll try to get Alistair Bunkle back with us. Let me just check. I think we may have him. Alistair, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Great to have you back. So you were saying you messaged, and I think you were going on to say somebody within the IDF. Is that right?
Yes, I spoke to someone a couple of minutes ago who's just left the IDF, so can speak a bit more freely. And I said, what's this all about? This seems quite significant to me. And they came back and said, we've been waging war. It's now time to wage the peace. So my guess would be, and at the moment we're trying to piece together what is going on, but it could be linked to the hostage negotiations that are ongoing in Cairo. And those have sort of resumed today, in so much that the head of the Mossad, Israel's foreign intelligence agency, is in Cairo. I think Bill Burns, the director of the CIA, is there. I'm always really hesitant because we have been here so many times before. I'm always very hesitant when it looks as though there's progress being made in a new ceasefire and a new hostage deal, because every time we think that there's a chink of light, something happens to take it back to square one. I mean, I can only imagine what it must feel like for the families who've got hostages in Gaza. But I would say that this time round, there just feels like there is now a bit more of an impetus on the Israeli side, almost that, you know, they've been up the hill and down again so many times. It cannot fail this time. They need it to work. There is a lot of domestic pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu and his government. There is a lot of international pressure on Netanyahu to make a deal. Maybe finally, 6 months in, this will be the moment.
So today may be a turning point.
Well, it will take, I mean, to get to deal will take longer than today, because even if there is an agreement, you know, in a sort of hypothetical scenario, even if there was an agreement between Hamas and the Israelis today, we still need to go through the layers of approval amongst the Israeli government. And even if that were to be a fait accompli, it would still take a little bit of time. But you sort of try and read the runes, and sometimes you get it badly wrong, sometimes you get it right. But it feels to me that this time there are just a few things slotting into place that might suggest we're on the right track. For example, the Israelis are being quite front-footed this time and saying that they are willing to compromise. They were the ones who initiated this kind of latest round in Cairo. Those are the sort of signs I look for to see whether or not we're on path for one. And you know, until it's done, anything can happen. I mean, we are talking about two sides, Israel and Hamas, who have absolutely no trust for each other whatsoever. They are sworn enemies, and to try and find common ground between them to come to a negotiation agreement is very, very difficult indeed. And it's more than just, I think sometimes we are very guilty outside of it, looking at the big kind of broad brushstroke of it. But actually, these deals require so much minutiae of agreement. And that's where things can suddenly come unstuck. But we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, if they are moving towards a deal, it could happen quite quickly.
Alistair, thank you very much for your time this morning. That's Alistair Bunkle from Sky News there in Israel. And of course, what Alistair is talking about in terms of that deal has massive impact in terms of the tens of thousands and beyond the people who are, according to David Cameron, the UK Foreign Secretary, on the potential cusp of famine and who have been suffering through such egregious and horrendous humanitarian strife over the past while. I'm joined by Ahmed Bayram, who is a Middle East media advisor. He works at the Norwegian Refugee Council, to get a bit of an insight into what the humanitarian situation is like. Good morning, Ahmed.
Good morning, Antoine. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to come on. Can you give us a sense of what your people on the ground are seeing and what the experience has been like?
Of course, yes. My team on the ground, particularly in the south of the Gaza Strip, are speaking of some horrific conditions for people living there. I mean, just to put it in perspective, we operate across schools that have been turned into what we call collective shelters. And that means you have hundreds and hundreds of people spending their time in crammed classrooms. And you're talking about an average of 200 people sharing one bathroom. Some of them, won't have a shower for weeks. The children are eating anything that can be consumed. I mean, in the northern part of Gaza, you're talking about wild plants and herbs and anything that looks green and grows. People have to find a way to consume that. And we have heard, of course, accounts of people consuming animal feed in the midst of months of absence of a warm meal. And of course, with the targeting of aid workers and the suspension of some of the food aid support, that means we are talking about, we're looking at around 150,000 meals that people would not be getting, particularly in the north part of Gaza.
In if this were a natural disaster, at least one of the things that the aid workers would be able to see is that the situation improves with time. The opposite is what seems to be happening now. What's the prospect, do you think, of the kind of concerns that David Cameron has expressed, things like famine, things like a significantly worsening humanitarian crisis?
Yeah, I mean, without getting too technical, famine is happening in probably different words as we speak. People are literally dying of hunger, and this is a good point you make. This is not a natural disaster. We have seen it in the earthquake, for example, in Syria and Turkey last year. This is a man-made disaster which has left, so many deaths, so many needless deaths, and so many people on the cusp of famine, people stuck, for hours and for days under the rubble. We don't forget that. I mean, I think the number now is probably we have 8 people killed every hour since the onset of this conflict. That is a huge number. That is a stain, to be honest, on our collective humanity, in this time and age for this, war machine and killing machine to carry on for 6 months is beyond imagination. And it is by miles the worst conflict we have seen in the Middle East. And, the Middle East has seen what it has seen over the past couple of decades.
What's the reaction and what's it like for your staff and colleagues on the ground when we see the recent attacks that have led to the deaths of humanitarian workers?
My team's on the ground. I mean, you probably wouldn't believe it, but I've heard a lot about them trying to avoid social media, trying to avoid to go on their Facebook because they don't want to know about the next colleague, the next friend, the next family member who has been killed. And of course, it is shocking. It is shocking because these people are doing multiple jobs at the same time. They are providing, food for the hungry. They are providing shelter for people staying, in the open. But they are also looking after their own families who have been displaced. I mean, my colleagues have learned how to, pitch a tent and build a bathroom, and so much has changed in these 6 months. I have to say they say many people are left with no hope, and while they themselves, my colleagues and others in the aid sector, trying to provide that hope. I mean, I was watching some of the clips of It was a simple activity, probably sounds silly, but, you know, a group of children, you know, dancing and playing, and, you know, in this mini, you know, mini show they had in one of the schools, and you could see that, you know, for a moment they try to forget what is, you know, that they have lost a home or lost their parents. I mean, these people on the ground providing aid should be protected, and they should be cherished for the work they are doing, you know, saving lives literally. And, you know, when we look hopefully back on this, when this is all over, hopefully there will be a mountain to climb in terms of the humanitarian situation in Gaza, in terms of the disease, in terms of the lost hopes, lost futures, lost homes, and lost schools, lost education. It's 6 months that has probably damaged so many lives beyond repair.
Earlier on, we were speaking to Alistair Bunkel from Sky News just before you joined us, and he was saying that the early reports indicate that troops, IDF troops, may be withdrawing from southern Gaza, and that may be an indication, and again, I'm caveating it heavily as he did, but that may be an indication that some kind of deal has been or is being brokered. Would you hold out much hope on that basis?
I mean, we take that with a pinch of salt, really. I mean, we have learned, you know, unless it's over the line, unless it's agreed, it's not agreed. And you know, sadly, I've heard this from my teams, you know, about them going, you know, everyone celebrating, I think, the last couple of times when we got very close. Now, everybody on the street was dancing and clapping, all for it to never materialize. I mean, I've seen these reports. The Israeli media reporting that as a tactic in preparation for a Rafah offensive. I mean, for a Rafah ground operation, we don't know. I mean, I hope it's not, because if that happens, that would be a catastrophe. We need these negotiations to work out for the sake of the hostages that are, you know, that have been there for 6 months, for the sake of the people of Gaza who have been starving, for the sake of my colleagues and many others in the aid sector who are doing an impossible job. So we're hoping this news, if true, means a step in the right direction, in a peaceful direction.
Ahmed, thank you very much for your time. That's Ahmed Byram, who is Middle East Media Advisor working with the Norwegian Refugee Council. And before him was Alistair Bunkel, Sky News Middle East correspondent from Israel.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.